In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. As we spent 7 weeks fasting to start the Holy Week and to rejoice with the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, so also we spend 7 weeks rejoicing, celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and waiting for the Holy Spirit who dwelt in our hearts to give birth to the church. And actually, as we had a program in the Great Lent, speaking mainly about the repentance, so also we have a program in the 7 weeks of the Pentecost, not only for repentance, but also to know who is Jesus Christ, the resurrected God. Who is he? And just to remind you, in the Great Lent, we were concentrating on the people who repented on the hands of our Lord Jesus Christ, and whom the Lord accepted their repentance and forgave their sins. Like the parable of the prodigal son, like the Samaritan woman, like the paralyzed man who was sin, and according to his sin he was sick for 38 years. And then for the man who was born blind, and the Lord gave him new eyes and a new sight. In the Pentecost, 7 weeks of the Pentecost, we have another program, another plan. We speak mainly about the resurrection of our Lord and who is he to me? Who is he to me? This introduction is very important for us to know what we are reading, why we are reading, and how can we benefit from these readings. When our Lord Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, the first one who saw him was? Who was? Mary Magdalene, a wonderful woman. A wonderful woman who could be proud on all the men and women, because she loved the Lord Jesus Christ from all her heart. And also, she was not only convinced with the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ when she went to the tomb and the angel informed her of the resurrection of our Lord. She could have left hurrying to the disciples, announcing the resurrection of our Lord. But this did not happen. Because she loved Jesus, she said, I will never leave this place until I see him. I want to see him. And this is really a very good lesson for us. Not enough to hear about Jesus. Not enough to read about Jesus. Not enough to teach about Jesus. Not enough to memorize all the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Not enough to listen to many sermons or to follow many programs on the TV, on the Christian channels. All of that are good things, but not enough. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ could not hide himself from her. And he appeared to her the first one. This is the first lesson. After that, in the evening, the Lord appeared to his disciples in the upper room. And St. John said a very important verse. He said, the disciples were rejoiced when they saw Jesus, when they saw the Lord. وَفَرِحَ التَّلَمِيذِ إِذْ رَأُوا الرَّبِّ. The disciples were rejoiced when they saw the Lord. When we come few chapters before that in St. John's Gospel, you will find that the Lord said to them, after a little while you will not see me, and then after a little while you will see me. When I see you, you will be rejoiced, and no one will take away your joy from you. Look, so he said, rejoice after the resurrection. And before resurrection, he said, I will see you, and you will rejoice, and no one will take the rejoice. That's why every Christian person must be happy, must be rejoiced. If we are upset, if we are desperate, if we are disappointed, if we are depressed, then something wrong in our faith in Jesus Christ. It's not a good sign. It means that we did not see him enough. He hasn't abandoned us, and we are not abandoning him. This is the first lesson. And then Thomas was not with them, so he wasn't rejoiced yet. He doubted the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, unless I see him, unless I put my finger in the prints of his hands and feet and my hand in his side, the place of the spear, the print of the spear, I will not believe. Second week, which is the first Sunday of the resurrection, the Lord appeared to Thomas. And Thomas rejoiced, and from then on, he was rejoicing. He went to India, he preached the gospel, he came back, he saw St. Mary's body lifted up into heavens by the angels and the Lord. He was very delighted with that. And this is the first Sunday. The second, the third, the fourth, and the fifth are very important topics. The second is Jesus. Who is Jesus? For me, is the bread of life. Tomorrow, the third, who is Jesus to me? He is the source of the living water. Fourth week, who is Jesus? He is the light of the world. And fifth Sunday, who is Jesus to me? He is the way, the truth, and the life. Seven times five equal 35 days. And then after 5 days comes the ascension into heavens. After we know that Jesus Christ is my bread, my drink, my light, my way, my truth, and my life, there is nothing more. Now the time comes for him to ascend into heaven and send the Holy Spirit to dwell in us and to give us all these benefits of the resurrection and the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ to our life. The gospel of tonight from St. John's Gospel, although tomorrow is the Sunday of Samaritan and the speech is about the water, but tonight, something wonderful. Tonight, the church prepares us for the next week. The next week, we will see our Lord Jesus Christ saying, I am the light of the world. But in the Vespers tonight, chapter 8, he says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You know, when did Jesus Christ say this? Huh? Do you have an idea? Do you have an idea when did Jesus Christ say that? It's in chapter 8 from the book of St. John. He said it exactly after the people arrested or caught a sinner woman in the same sin. According to the law of Moses, she must be stoned. And then they took her to our Lord Jesus Christ. And they said to him, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What do you say? And then Jesus Christ said to him, well, I agree with the law of Moses. But Moses said, the first one who starts to stone must be without sin. Whoever without sin, let him throw the first stone. Listen what Jesus said. He said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. This is the law. The first one must be innocent. And then no one, neither the Pharisees, nor the scribes, nor the people themselves, none of them was able to stone the sinner woman. And after that, Jesus Christ said to her, has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And then he said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. After that, immediately he said, I am the light. Then Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. When the Lord created the first day, when he created the light, in Genesis, the book of Genesis, he said, the Lord separated between light and darkness. There is no mix between light and darkness. Either light or dark. There is no gray. There is no area with our Lord Jesus Christ within you find some light and some darkness. No. With Jesus Christ, either light or darkness. That's why, as if he was saying to them, I am the light of the world, but you, as Pharisees, scribes, live in darkness. You do the same sins and much more. But you are accusing a sinner woman who could repent. I am the light. And I gave her, in her heart, a new light that cast away the darkness from her heart. That's why he said, sin no more. Sin no more means I forgave you on the past, but in the future, sin no more. This is the first time. The second time also was something very close to that. In John 9, immediately after that, in John 9, he opened Or he created eyes to the man who was born blind. Huh? And then he asked him to wash his eyes in the lake of Siloam. And he did. And he gained his sight. It's a light. Yes? And this, just before he performed the miracle, he said in verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. As if he was saying to them again, in chapter 8, he was saying to them, I am the light. Why you are living in dark? Darkness. And then here in chapter 9, he said, I am, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And you will still the darkness of the world. You are the servants of the devil. And the works of the devil you perform, you do. That's why you will remain in the light. What is the importance of the light? Question. The importance of the light, the answer of it from the book of Genesis. When the Lord wanted to create heaven and earth, he started with the light. He started with the light. In the book of Genesis, he said from chapter 1, he said, in the beginning, the Lord created heaven and earth. Heaven and earth. Here a question very important. Very important. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Question. Does the Lord need light to create heaven and earth? Of course, no. Why did he create the light? Because the light is the first step in the faith. The light is the first step in our faith. That's why the first of relationship with God as Christians is to be enlightened. And they call the baptism enlightening, astinara. Al-istinara, enlightening. The first step, if you want to become members in the body of Christ, is to open not our eyes, but the eyes of our hearts and minds and spirits and bodies. This is the light. This is the importance of the light. Of course, if we come back to the Old Testament, we will find that the light was always with every step with the children of Israel. With the children of Israel. The Bible says or describes our Lord Jesus, or our Lord, he says, God dwells in a light that cannot be approached. No one can approach the light of the Lord. Just to give you an example, when Moses insisted to see the Lord said to him, no one can see me and live. But he insisted. Then he put him in a hole of a hill. And the Bible says something very strange. The Bible says that he hid, the Lord hid Moses with his hand. What's the hand? what's the hand of the Lord? You can imagine. And then he passed while. As of that time, no one could look at the face of Moses. And he was, when they want to see him, he must have put a veil on his face for the people to see him. Otherwise, no one can see him for a while. That's why the Lord dwells in a light which cannot be approached at all. Number two, when the Lord wanted to have a house for him, a house of God, the first house was the tabernacle. And the tabernacle was full of lights. Lampstand with seven candles, always, always. And we have the same symbol. The same symbol. We have it in the church, but unfortunately, we are not honest. The candle which is in the Pantocrator, inside the sanctuary, must be on all time, 24/7. And in the past, there was a servant in the church, his name was Candelift. Candelift means the man of candle, the servants of candle. And this servant of candle, his main work is to keep the light inside, the light of the candle inside, on all time, all time. When we come to the church in the Vespers or in the liturgy, we do not need matches to enlight. We take from the light of the lampstand inside the heikel. This was to insist that the Lord is in the heikel all time with his light. But unfortunately, we don't have a special people who serve continuously, dedicated their lives or their service in the church. That's why we have to quench and then lit again at the beginning of every service. Also, the light of the Lord was appearing in between the two cherubim on the Ark of Covenant when they wanted to pray. In the tabernacle feast also, they have on the last day of the tabernacle feast, they still praying and praying and praying until sunset, until darkness there. And they put a special candle, a special lampstand with four branches. And all of a sudden, when it is first night and there is no even sunset, there is no light from heaven, they lit all the candles all of a sudden, and then to every house. And all of a sudden they found Jerusalem enlightened with candles as a sign of the presence of the Lord. Why? To remember that the Lord guided them with a pillar of cloud enlightened during the wilderness trip from Egypt after they crossed the Red Sea until the promised land. In the daytime with the cloud of pillar of cloud, and in the night the same pillar changes into a fire to enlighten to them, but in the back, not in the front. Do you know that we have that until now in Jerusalem? Did you ask yourself why the Lord, the light of the resurrection, appears on the tomb in Jerusalem on Saturday, not on Sunday? Did you ask yourself? Why? On Saturday, the Rome Orthodox Patriarch of the Holy Land enters in the tomb and they close the doors after they check them to be sure that he has no source of light or matches or lighter or anything And then all of a sudden, Saturday, the light of the resurrection comes on the 33 candles together in the hands of the patriarch. And then he knocks from inside, they open to him. And all of a sudden, all the people take from this light. You know, they go from Israel to Russia, from Israel to Germany, from Israel to Egypt, from Israel. Why? To lit this light on the liturgy of the resurrection Saturday night. That's why the light appears, the light of the Lord appears on Saturday, not on Sunday, for everyone in the whole world to be enlightened with the light of the resurrection. I forgot myself and I wasn't preparing all that. But anyhow, we'll have quickly 3 points. 3 points. Number one, the light in the Old Testament. We spoke about it. Number two, what the Lord announced about himself as a true light, and the divine facts about that, and how can we benefit from it. Number three, small spiritual homework, spiritual exercises for us to apply. Number one we did. Number two, light and life. And light and truth. And light and love. Light and life. Light and truth. And light and love. Number one, what is the sin? What is the wage of the sin? Death. What is the gift of the righteousness? Life. The true light, our Lord Jesus Christ, is the source of life. Because we were accused of being sinners through the sin, we must have died. But he, the true light, changed the death into life. When he came to be crucified for me, when he came to die for me and to give me his life. That's why now, we know that if we walk in the darkness, we will be in trouble. I give you an example, very simple example. Suppose you are at night and you enter your room or any room or kitchen while it is dark, no light. And then you find a glass of water and cell phone and something. When you come in darkness, your hand may hit the glass of water. The water will pour on the cell phone. And then the cell phone will be خلاص, finished. When you put water on the cell phone, dies. Let us say dies. And trouble. You may fall. You may hit any stuff you don't see because it's darkness. The only solution is to turn the light. Just to turn the light when you enter the room. This is the true light. And this is the main difference between a person who walks in darkness. He will corrupt everything, lose everything. And those who walk in light, they will never lose anything. They will never lose anything because they see everything. Everything. And the light here is not the light of my eyes. It is the light of my heart. And the proof of that, you can find blind people who know very well where everything in their room, their house, even the stairs, even the tables, even the staff, even everything, without the eyes of their hearts. I want to be that man. I want to be even blind in my eyes, but sharp-sighted in my heart and in my mind. That's why there is a very relationship between the light and the darkness. When the Lord, the light and the life. When the Lord went to Lazarus to arise him, he was the true light. Yes? And because he was the true light, he called Lazarus from dead and darkness. He was in the darkness of the tomb. He was prisoned in the darkness of the tomb. And this is a sign of death. But when he cried out, Lazarus, come forth, he came out of the tomb. He saw not the sunshine, but the true light in front of him, our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the true light. This is the relationship between the light and the life. If we want to live, we have to live in the true light. That's why our Lord Jesus Christ clearly said today, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The light of life. Our Lord Jesus Christ is not the light of the sun or the moon or the stars. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the light of life. And if you want to live, be enlightened with this true light. Number two, light and truth. What is the sin? The sin is untruthfulness. Untruthfulness. That's why in Isaiah 5, verse 20, woe to those who call evil good, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Is that so? No. Who put darkness for light and the light for darkness. Is that only? No. Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. This is against the truth. This is against the truth. The light here is to say the truth. If you lie, you don't live in light. If you lie, that you do walk in darkness. You know what? Sometimes when we go to confession, to start, before we come to the depths, Allah, we lie, we swear. Light sins. No, they are not light sins. The lying is very dangerous. When I lie, it means that I walk in darkness. That's why in the book of Revelation, he put the lying at the same list of the very bad people in chapter 20 and 21. At the end of this list, all the bad things, you can imagine, all the sexual bad things. He says, and all the liars, they will be put in the lake of fire forever. All liars. Lying is against truth. Before you say anything, ask yourself, is it true? That's why Martha and Mary, when they came to the Lord to meet him before he arose their brother, they said to him, if you were here, then our brother should not have died. And he said, I am. I am the way, the life. And in 15, he said, I am the true, the way, the truth, and the life. Because our Lord Jesus Christ is the true light, then all those who walk in him will not lie. We lie because we live in darkness. We lie because we don't see our Lord Jesus Christ. There is a joke, but it is not a truly joke. It has a philosophy lesson in it. There was a man who was driving his car, and then at the traffic, there was a red traffic light. And then he passed the red traffic. Immediately, the policeman hurried with his car behind him, stopped him, and he said, did you see the right light, the red lights? He answered the policeman, yes, I saw it. And then he said, why did you pass? He answered, because I didn't see you. This is what we do. We do not see the true lights, and we pass the red lights. We pass, we fall in sin, because we don't see the policeman. We don't feel that he is with us. And this is against the truth. It's not a joke. It's the truth. This is our problem. We forget that he is looking at us. No, we forget that he is dwelling in us. We are lights, because the true light is inside us. And that's why we pass the red light. We don't care. We don't care. And when you ask a young man or a young lady, why they don't care? I don't care. You don't care. I care. Please care. Don't say, I don't care. I don't care is dangerous on you. It's very bad. How come that we don't care about our salvation? Our being a true vessels, a true temples of the true light. If we lie, we live in darkness. If we say the truth, if we live in the truth, then the true light is in our hearts. Of course, in the book of John, in the book of John, Gospel of St. John, chapter 1, and chapter 3, he says that. Listen. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming to the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Why? In chapter 3, he answers this question. Chapter 3, verse 19 and 20, he says, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Why? Because their deeds were evil. They loved darkness more than light because their works were evil. Their deeds were evil. Number three for our time, not because we covered all, everything. The relationship between light and love. Number one, light and life. Number two, light and truth. Number three, light and love. It's very clear. You will not find any apostle who described the relationship between light and love except as St. John in his epistles. St. John in his epistles was very, very clear. Was very clear when he was speaking about the relationship between the light and the love. In first epistle, chapter 2, you'll concentrate just two verses. He who says he is in the light, he who says he is the light, he is in light and he is in with Jesus Christ, and hates his brother, is in darkness until now. طب أنا مسيحي, I'm Christian, I am the temple of the Lord, the true light dwells in my heart. Yes, but you don't love your brother. You betray yourself. You lie. You lie to yourself and to the others, but you cannot lie to the true light. He says, he who is in the light, and he says he is in the light and hates his brother, is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling to him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Wow! What a terrible verse. Because he hates his brother, then he lives in darkness and he cannot see, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Yes, when we go to the eye physician and you have an eye test, you will find yourself 6/6 sharp. Yeah, this is for him. But for the Lord, the darkness may blind my eyes, my spiritual eyes, my inner eyes, my eyes of my heart. This is the true light. This is the meaning that the relationship is very strong between light and life, light and truth, and light and love. At the end, to conclude our speech today, I want you every night to sit to yourself and ask yourself, do I love my brothers? Do I walk in truth? Do I permit the light of Christ to be manifested in my inner with the heavenly and saintly spirit? Do I have the smell of Jesus Christ in me, and the people smell the Jesus Christ in me? عشان كده بنقول له فلتشرق فينا الحواس المضيئة. Let the lightened senses shine in us, and the light or the thoughts of light do not give us the darkness of suffering. يقول سراج لرجلي كلامك ونور لسبيلي. The commandments is a lamp and the law is light. in the Proverbs 6:23. Please, number two, sit at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ask him persisting to lead your steps with his divine lights, not to your desires, not to your mind, not to your aims, but according to the divine light. وأختم بأن إحنا بنقول في in the prime بنقول له أيها النور الحقيقي الذي ينير لكل إنسان. Oh, your true light, who enlighten every man who comes into this world. You have come to this world by your love to mankind, and all creation rejoice with your coming. Give me to be rejoiced with the light of your love. Glory be to God forever. Amen. Let us pray.